Good morning, everyone, and thank you for that beautiful song, Terry and Savannah. That was just gorgeous. There's something about those harmonies that just gets into me and just, love that. So there's definitely something that we have going on this morning. We're in the flow. I can feel it. Here at the church, the people that are here, you there listening, wherever you're at, and life itself, just some beautiful, harmonious, gorgeous flow. There's a definite theme happening around compassion, but even deeper around noticing with a keen awareness our deep interconnectedness with all of life. And in the summertime, that's a lot easier to do, isn't it? Sometimes than in the winter, where we really feel the sunshine and the warmth, just like the warmth of God's love. And in our bones and in our muscles and in our being, we can feel that. And so let's bring that this morning into some quiet, contemplative meditation. So get yourself comfortable. Let your eyes gently close. Take that deep breath. Fill your lungs with life. And even open your mouth to let it escape. Go ahead. Let's have one more. And then settle in. Let your body immediately be attuned to the frequency of spirit. Let any worries or concerns melt away into Mother Earth. And let your spirit fly. For a few minutes, bring all of your attention and focus to the God that you know. Now, ever so gently, bring your awareness back to your physical being. Feel your body. Anywhere will do. And with eyes still closed, look at your physical being as pure God energy. Feel the hum of life in your cells, in your bones, in your skin, in your blood, and in your breath. Consider for a moment that this energy is life energy, the same as your neighbor, the same as your flowers, the same as stones and boulders, rocks and trees, the same energy that is in water and the sun, and the very same energy that gives life to the entire cosmos. That is how profound your existence is. Now, if you'd like to, place your hands on your heart and just feel your heartbeat. And if you're like me right now, you can really feel the pulse of life. And take a moment for reverence. Like a deep respect for this moment and for the awareness of it. And then gratitude comes. Gratitude for the simplicity of this awareness and of the treasure of knowing life. And oh, how does this bring humility in such a beautiful way? That I am not better than, I am not less than, but I am connected with and one with the wholeness and the allness of life. Thank you, God. Amen. You can go ahead and bring yourself back to the present moment when you're ready and gently open up your eyes. Well, with all the things happening this morning, the songs and the daily word and just the feeling of this day, I'm deeply reminded of Jesus's great declaration. And some people call it a commandment, but I call it a declaration because it's a statement. And just simply to love God above all else, with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your spirit, everything that you are, to deeply love God. And to do that, like in our meditation, to feel what God actually is beyond our conception, to feel that presence. To me, that is what Jesus is declaring. Love that. And love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because you are your neighbor, and your neighbor is you. And this is what compassion is all about to me. So funny how, you know, you can be going along like I was this morning and you kind of have a little bit of a plan and the universe just says, nope. If you can be in this moment, Kevin, I will show you things that will blow your mind. And if it's one thing I love, it's my mind blown. I think we're all like that, human beings are. So in that way, life's not always about having the answers. In fact, how much does that get us in trouble? But it's about having the right questions. God, what am I? Who am I? How can I know you more? Not as an outside being, but as an internal source of life itself. What a thing that is. So for me, Jenny and I just got off of a wonderful trip. We went on an RV road trip. We've wanted to do that for a long time. And, you know, in order to do that, you don't just jump in some RV and hit the road. It takes a lot of planning and preparation. And it's actually taken a couple of years to where we've been gotten ready to go on a decent road trip. And so we decided we were going to head to Montana. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks, we talked about coddywampling, to move with great purpose in an undetermined direction or something like that. You know, I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm going there. And that's what this whole thing of being lost to be found is about to me. And so we really intended that for our trip. And so as we left, you know, we thought we were pretty clear on that. And we thought we had said, okay, with complete abandon, here I come, God. But that wasn't actually what had happened. We left with our, you know, pocket full of intentions and goals and all those things that you bring with you, which aren't in themselves bad. But be careful what you pray for. Because when I pray for patience, I don't suddenly get to be able to sit in lotus pose for 3 hours. I wind up in Walmart lines and wherever else where I get to practice a whole pile of patience. And so it is with this road trip where we went out and we stayed at a nice place just inside of Montana. Really lovely people we'd found there. And we pulled into that little campsite, and I'd already had a conversation with the gal that owns it. And so we pulled in pretty late, about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And she said, "Do you got some energy left in you?" And we said, "Yeah." She said, "I want you to go up to the falls, Kootenai Falls." And so she gave us a little pamphlet, and it was about 5 miles up the road. And we went to these falls, and as we walked in, it takes a little bit to get in there, this gorgeous, raging river on all these ancient boulders coming down. And there's many people there, very beautiful. And we drank that up, and we forgot to introduce ourselves to the land. And but anyway, we had a nice time, went back, camped, and then in the morning, got up and we went on our way. And we didn't know where we were going, and we don't know how to RV travel very well. And so we just thought we'd just pull into the most beautiful campsite in the whole world and there'd be a spot for us. And we found out that's not what happens. And so about, I don't know, sometime in the afternoon, we started having some problems. We were getting a little agitated and we were getting sick of driving, and we didn't have anywhere to go and we didn't know what to do. But we had just driven up this road. It was about, oh, I don't know, maybe 25, 35 miles. And it was along this place called Lake Kookanoosa, I believe. And it was the most gorgeous lake I'd ever seen. And I was oohing and aahing and looking at that place. And we were just loving it through these big windows in our RV. And when we got about to the top of it, I had seen a bridge that went across the water. And I wanted to take that bridge, but I didn't know where it went, and I thought we better keep our little schedule here and go that way. And the universe said, "No, no, Kevin, this way." And just about the time I noticed that bridge, Jenny had seen a car going down this little road, and she pointed over there. She said, "What's that car doing over there?" And I said, "I don't know, he's going somewhere." And we blazed on. And that's when we had our little thing where we both were feeling agitated and upset. We started to bicker a little bit, which is one of the great healing things that happens on the road when you're in an RV together. And anyway, we ended up both saying, "Fine," and "Fine." And we got back on the road, and I suddenly, she said, "Where are we going?" And I said, "We're going back." And so I remember thinking, my mind wanted me to go on, but something was calling me back. And so we went down and we took that bridge. And that bridge went somewhere extraordinary. It went on the other side of the lake. And as we went down the road on the other side of the lake that we just come up, this road was gorgeous and nobody was there. There was ancient rocks all over the place. I mean, boulders, stones that they had, you know, blasted through to get the roadway in there. And anyway, we went down 25, 30 miles an hour, meandering, stopping, oohing and aahing. Ah, you know that sound where you look out and there's just the vast expanse, you go, ah. Anyway, we were being healed and we didn't realize it. And so as we went down, there was 2 campsites available on this side of the water. And the first one didn't look very savory and we were a little concerned, but the second one was this gorgeous state park. And we pulled in there and we found the perfect spot. There was hardly anybody there. And we walked back in the back and it was a cliff over the water. I mean, the water, like just big water. And so it was there that we held hands and introduced ourselves to the land. And we said, "Thank you, Montana, for welcoming us." And we had forgotten to do that. It was something that I'd been taught at the sweat lodge ceremony by my friend Tom, who taught me about reverence. And he said, "You always want to introduce yourself to the land where you go, because all land has spirits. The land of Washington State has spirits. The land of Montana State has spirits. And in the cities, the spirits change. And in the little Everett Unity Center for Positive Living has a spirit. Everything has a spirit. And it's always good to connect with that first, because it's what Jesus said. Love that above all else. Everything else will fall into place." And so we said, "Thank you for welcoming us. Whatever it is that you'd like to show us, we'd love to see. And so it is here that we surrender our will and let you guide us." And then we did our hands up in the air. Woo! We had a big victory, hoot over that water, because we realized that we had forgotten to do that. And from then on, our trip was blessed with all this magnificent wonder. And it was really where I realized about being not willing to be lost. You see, I want to know what I'm doing. And right now, the world doesn't know what it's doing, if you haven't noticed. We don't know what's going on, and everything is so weird. Well, is that bad? Or is that one of the right questions? What's going to happen next? Rather than, well, I need to figure this out so I know what I'm doing. I want to share now with you Richard Rohr. You guys know he's just been inspiring me to no end. And Jenny and I had this book in the camper with us, and we'd read a little bit from each morning. And so this morning we opened it up and it said, "It takes real spiritual and emotional maturity to recognize that our response always and finally comes from us. Even if it is much easier to put the responsibility and shame elsewhere instead of finding our own inner freedom. Projecting our dark reservoir elsewhere relieves us of a huge burden. If our egos are still in charge, we will almost certainly resort to this common survival technique." A survival technique, putting my junk on somebody else and pretending like it's their fault for my misfortune. A survival technique. All of life is pulled inside of little me as the central reference point, and that is far too small a world. And then he says this very interesting thing that really got us. As Jesus would put it, "Such people have not lost themselves, so they cannot find themselves either." And when I read that, Jenny got this confused look, and I said, "Yeah, the next thing it says is read that twice." So I did. "Such people," Kevin, "have not lost themselves, so they cannot find themselves either." Now, we read that together, and we were pleasantly appalled. Do you know what I mean? At ourselves. Like, well, of course, I have to let go of everything that I think I know, everything that I think I want, so that I can find who I am. Ain't that the question? But how do I get there? And it is a moment by moment deal. So as I've always said, when I, you know, it's weird to speak to you on Sunday mornings, because I don't come from a place of having the answers. I come from a place of having the questions. And the questions is what gives us that life of magnificent wonder. And I think it's what Jesus is telling us with that declaration when he says, "Hey, look behind that thing that you think you see into the spirit of life itself, and it will be revealed to you." It's such an interesting thing. Albert Einstein said, space, what Albert Einstein loved studying, he said, "Space is very suspicious He said everything comes out of it and disappears into it. Isn't that something? They got this thing they're working on. I don't know how this stuff finds me. It's called Xenon 1T. It's this giant thing that they've built. And it's got all these bolts, and it's this giant something container. And they fill it with xenon and some other stuff. And then they surround it with tons of water. And then they bury it 1,600 meters in the earth. And they've got these little things on there that check it out and what the molecules are going to do in there. And then they said they were looking for something, dark matter, I think it was. Anyway, they said, we didn't find dark matter, but we did find this weird thing that these electrons do. And it's like they start talking this weird language where I go, huh? And then anyway, he says, the half-life of this thing is 18 to the 21 power. And it's like longer, five times longer than the age of the universe itself. And I said, why is that important? Why do they build machines like that to find what I found on the cliff in meditation? That all things come from God and you can't explain it, but that you can be in it. It's such a strange thing. And that maybe it's why Einstein said, if I had it all over to do again, I'd come back and be a plumber. So does everything always have to go my way for me to be happy? You know, it was weird because it was 103 degrees. We were going through record temperatures there in Montana, and even eastern Washington right now is that hot. And so we were looking for water. And Mother Nature provided. I mean, we were swimming in that lake that I told you about. We hiked down and able to jump in there with our dogs. It was really beautiful. But a profound thing happened to me and gave me a teaching. And that was at a river. I think it was at the base of Glacier National Park. And it was this river that we'd found. And we went there. We were hot, needed to get in water. And this river's flowing. And it was a beautiful river. There's all these raft guys on there, and they're going down in groups of five and six. Were they practicing social distancing? Well, let's see, six people on a raft, and the raft is 6 feet long. No. But they were having fun, I will tell you that. I don't know if it's right, wrong, good, or bad, but man, it looked fun. And so anyway, we were walking on these river rocks, and you know, these things are like boulders about this big, and there's some that are smaller, but they're round. And there is just, as far as you can see that way, and as far as you can see that way, there's just round river rocks that go all the way into the center and up the banks. And we're walking on these rocks to get down there. Now, I don't know if you know this from personal experience. I know a lot of people do. When you look at a river rock and you pick up that round rock and it's wet, how gorgeous that thing is. I mean, a blue stone with red rings that look like outer space, you know, and it's like every one we picked up, we're like, whoa, how are we going to carry all these home? You can't. You got to leave them. But this really weird thing happened where they had the river, and then they had a little part of the river that came back and stopped. So it was like a little pool where you could get into. And so we went out into the water, it's cold mountain water, and laid down in it. Oh, it felt so good to lay in that water. And when I noticed the flow over my skin, the river was flowing very rapidly, and I could really feel that. And I go, that's the flow. I'm in the flow. And it was so cool. And so you can only be in there for a few minutes. And so I got out of there, and I noticed how beautiful all those rocks are. And then I looked where there was no flow, in that little cutout part, and all the rocks had mud over them, a silt, and you couldn't see their beauty. They were covered up and they were slippery, and you don't want to get in that water. They weren't in the flow. And I thought, that's a teaching of the universe. Stay in the flow. You know, what's that thing they say? My body, if I went back to that same spot, that ain't the same water that's going to flow over me. It's always moving. And that's what brings me to that point that is so made by the daily word and by compassion. When we practice what we're talking about here, reverence, deep reverence, just the you know, the sound of any name of God, God, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, always in there is that That's why I think those names are given, because it's that God, I love that. That's reverence. And then the gratitude for that, I don't have to take those rocks home. I can see them right now. Behind that rock, that stone, is simply the Spirit of God. It's not something that I can't have. It's not something that's not always with me. It's something that I can revere, and that is enough. I can get lost in that, and that is enough. And the gratitude that that breeds within me and my vision is enough. And I cannot have reverence and gratitude and humility and not be compassionate towards life. Do you know what I mean? Then as we travel, we go into the cities, and the cities get smaller. They get more constricted, and people are social distancing and wearing their masks. And I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that it's very interesting to see that stark contrast in the way that things are and the way that the world works. Again, I don't have the answers. I don't know to tell you what the right thing to do is, but I know that you know. And I know that the way that we find that is in the depth of that meditation. Eyes don't have to be closed sitting in lotus pose to meditate. Meditation is the knowing that if I love God with everything that I am and love my neighbor as myself, I'm just noticing the world the way that it actually is when it's in the flow. I don't know. I really don't know, but in such a good way that I do know. I know that there is one presence and one power that is absolutely reliable. Thank you, and amen.